3, 2,
good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on January 3rd, 2008. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. Good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at any time, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Well, we just received an email regarding Sunday evening's broadcast where I interviewed Cameron Ashgar and his AUM International. He's a bright young fella. I had difficulty understanding exactly or precisely how the organization would work. And I have a woman here who has written to me her... I guess it's a woman. I'm sorry. I'm not sure. Moreno. I'm not sure if it's a woman. Moreno. It's Moreno from, and I don't know where. Moreno. I don't know where Moreno's from. Well, Moreno, if you are listening on the air today or whatever, please send me your T-shirt size and a mailing address, and I will send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt for explaining to me better what his organization does. I really appreciate that. Right now we have five open lines. It's early in the morning. Five open lines. And our number is 646-652-4620. Today's subject, after I read this email, will be same-sex marriage in the presidential debates, and one that's been debated for some time. But let me read this email. I'll read this first paragraph to you because it's quite lengthy. It's excellently done. He says, I was listening to your show with Cameron, and you noted many times that you were not understanding exactly his, I guess, organization was trying to accomplish. I believe that I can help you a little on this understanding. What he is essentially working against is the inaction of all of the problems that we see around us, in particular how the numerous radio stations and documentaries talk about what is going on, what is going to happen, and how we got there, and who brought us to this point. But none really give us a way to take it down. Many do say, write letters, call politicians, join a group. But when people do that, they don't see any resulting change. So what AUM, in my humble understanding, is directing that frustration, energy, and passion into creating change around them that they can see. I like to go on. Let me read a little bit more. I grew up in a similar household where my mother was not practicing any religion, but was raised Episcopalian, and my father did not practice any religion, but became Muslim. He was raised Baptist. My brother and sister and I grew up with the ability to find answers on our own, and I personally resonate with Cameron in the idea of no religion has the answer, but at the same time, personal spiritualism is desired, but is not found in any particular religion, so people are frustrated and desire an outlet. So in a universal path, one can find what all people can agree. In the universal sense, like lying is bad, murder and injustice is bad sort of way, and direct that energy to fill that spiritual desire. I state the previous information because I think that people have this passion destroyed, destroy what causes the heartache, confusion, and tragedy that we empathize with. Many have not found any resolution in following any religion, which is a large part of the outlets that deliver the programs that we listen to, watch, and read. This all ties together to create a powerless and disconnected feeling that ultimately people paralyze under cause they don't know a way to direct it. So as I understand what Cameron is saying, the AAUM is essentially a meeting place where people who want to direct this energy to something gather. Then, as each talk and vent frustration, they connect with one with another passionate person who they work with to create the world that they wish to see in a personal way instead of global, which in turn influences another individual and another to the point that it is a global change. I hope this is not rambling and that it helped you understand. Best regards, Marino. P.S. One thing that I completely disagree with Cameron is when he said not to pay attention to all the bad that is going on, particularly like in Iraq. It is that apathy that got us over there. What we need to do is shed our authority figures and look to ourselves. It is just as Mahatma Gandhi said, we must first be the change that we wish to see. That also essentially what AUM is saying. Thank you so much, Marino. That is very well done. Again, please email me your t-shirt size and a mailing address, and I will be more than happy to mail you right away. In fact, we're having new shirts made up. A Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt for that wonderful email. Thank you for being a listener, and thank you for taking the time to explain that to me. I agree, and I think that clears it up a little bit. I often wonder how we really go about that, because we all desire change. Now, I would guess, if I had to sum it up, he is being he's being proactive, and I hate to use that term because I don't like that term, but he's being proactive rather than just talking about it. Well, I wish him luck, and by the way, I contributed to his organization to give it a head start, and he has asked me to assist him, which I said I'd gladly do. I just wish I could understand better what he's doing, and your email did help me out tremendously. Thank you so much, and thank you for being a listener. Well, folks, we're starting the new year off beautifully. Gold closed yesterday. That was Wednesday evening. Closed at $857 an ounce. Friends of mine, we sat around and we got to talk about the financial situation. It is amazing some of the apathy that sits out there and the misunderstanding and the disinterest in people seeing their entire portfolios being eroded. Wrote it to nothing, and yet people will do very little about it. I urge all of my listeners to be mindful of what is going on internationally. We may be heading for an international financial crisis. I know I sound like Chicken Little. The sky is falling, and maybe it is today. Maybe this is the time that the sky sort of is falling, or maybe getting really gloomy at least, and we should be careful. Silver is over $15 an ounce. There are projections of silver easily going over $50 an ounce. Now, this is not an investment thing. This has to do with the relative strength of the dollar and how it affects us, our very purchasing power. I know everyone that I speak to seems to be being squeezed, and that's because our government very silently has been taxing us through inflation. and taxing us directly, very little here and there, you know, so that we can pay for all of these programs that the government should never be involved in, and many of which are illegal, like the war in Iraq and being in Afghanistan and having bases stationed all over the world. Constitutionally, I like to call them illegal, right? And we are paying for those things. Understand the government wants all of this inflation because they can pay their debts with cheaper dollars. The more inflation, the happier they are. But the poorer it makes us, and the more we indebt our future. Folks, beware. There may be a run someday, and if everyone who is listening to me and let's say tenfold the number of people decide to go to the bank and withdraw some money just to play safe so they can have it in their hands, they're going to find out that it's just not there. There'll be runs on banks, and banks have no money. That money has been lent out. And you've heard my diatribe on banking before. I need not go through it again. We have a system that I don't think anyone understands. I certainly cannot get any answers. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I have less than 2%, or maybe now less than 1% of my entire worth is in cash, you know, and even that gets me nervous. Okay, the presidential debates. Today, I guess, is Iowa Day, isn't it? The Iowa caucus. It's going to be interesting to see how well Ron Paul does. I don't think I have heard his name in the past 2 weeks once or twice being mentioned in the Iowa caucus. We do not expect him to win, but it would be wonderful if he came in double digits, like between 10 and 15%, and maybe third place. They cannot ignore him. I think he stands a better chance in New Hampshire, where there is more of a libertarian bent, where Iowa is more of a Republican, and they don't change their mind. I've listened to a lot of people from Iowa, and they simply do not understand the program. They keep on saying, well, this person's a little better here, and this person's more compassionate about this. They have no concept of how or why they should vote. And that, to me, bothers me. And that is a product of our government school system indoctrinating people to think that the government exists for their good. And it's not true. The government exists to protect our rights, our freedoms, our liberties, and that's the only reason. And we are the governors, not the people we elect. They just represent our governing. We don't understand that, folks, and I preach that, and we do not understand that. Now, I understand that President Bush and company had tried to pass through a couple of times a same-sex marriage amendment. And it has failed. It failed, I think, twice. And thank heavens that it did. Now, this would be the only time, if it did pass it, where the Constitution, instead of protecting your liberties, would be taking them away. Now, let me give you my take on same-sex marriages. And let me make it very clear. I am straight. I am not homosexual at all in any way, shape, or form. You know, I'm the guy that, you know, when a good-looking gal passes by, for some reason my eyes wander. I'm just the old-fashioned boy. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less than that. All right? And you can ask my wife. She has to slap me all the time, but I love her dearly, you know, and she's wonderful and beautiful, and I love her to death, you know? And I have 3 children. All right? So let's get all that out of the way. I want to direct you to an article. I think it's one of the best articles written, and it's easily to found on the net. It says, Gay Marriage, the Arguments and Motives. It's by Scott Bistrup, and he does an excellent job of breaking down all of the arguments against gay marriage and all of the phobias that we have. Excellent article. Again, it's Scott Bidstrup, Bidstrup, Gay Marriage, the Arguments and the Motives. And much of what I'm going to say is going to parrot what he says, quite frankly. I think the most compelling argument that he makes is that one of the underlying reasons that we have this gay marriage phobia going around is that we are very much in our structure of things, a male-dominated society where there is a patriarch, for example. And, you know, we have a typically a male president. We may have a female president, but a male president, and, you know, the men are the head of the household, all this other stuff, all this puritanical crap. But these people, the patriarch normally sets the rules, and then we are bound by those rules, and that makes for a society which is under control, has guidelines, et cetera, et cetera. But they're all really dictated, basically, by the patriarch. All right, that's all we had. Now, when you have a gay marriage, what you do, in effect, and I know this is getting psychobabble stuff, but what you do is challenge that patriotic, you know, type of leadership, you know, in our society. Because now you're saying, well, what you are saying, you know, marriage is between one man and one woman, you know, and it's sacred and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, we break all of those rules. And we break basically every rule of this type of society that we've basically have designed ourselves around. And that's very frightening. The people in the Senate primarily are in the House Representatives are male, and they got at least a majority of the votes. They didn't get 2/3, but they got a majority of votes to vote for the marriage amendment. Now, that is ridiculous. We have, you know, we the people of the United States. It doesn't say we the heterosexual people of the United States. We the people of the United States. And this is, it's our freedom. You know, we talk about our freedom and the rights of others and free people. It doesn't say free heterosexual people. It just says free people. This is a free nation. We can do what we want. I mean, this is provided that we're not hurting anyone else. You know, it's a very, you know, our Constitution is extremely libertarian. And that's what people don't understand. And when they talk about Ron Paul being, you know, a radical and departing from the Republican Party, actually, his answers are very, very straightforward. He says, no, he says, I represent the Republican Party. It's the other clowns, he doesn't say clowns, but the others are the ones that have violated all of the basic principles of the Republican Party. That's small government. That's non-intrusiveness of the government in people's lives. It's non-intervention in foreign affairs. Those are basic Republican values. That's what the Republican Party was built on, and that's what it represented. But in the 1970s, they departed from that, and that's where the Libertarian Party came out. The Libertarian Party is really the original Republican Party. People don't understand that, but we're indoctrinated to a point where we think basically like every other politician, and you want to call it Democrat Party, Progressive Party, whatever, and they're basically all saying the same thing with minor variations, and then they argue, and then we vote for the one that we think is the best. Horrible way to go. What happened to the freedom and liberty and justice for all? Freedom, justice, and liberty for all. Does that mean all? But first we have to check to see if you are heterosexual or, you know, homosexual. I mean, no, absolutely. No, we never qualified that because it's freedom for all. And, you know, what's interesting, if you read this article, what I find fascinating is say, well, you know, it's a marriage is a sacred, you know, institution. Says who? No one ever said that. It's not written anywhere that marriage is a sacred institution. Now, some religious organizations will say marriage is a sacred institution, but the state doesn't. And if you have to go before the state to get married, it's not a sacred institution. It's a legal institution. Now, you say, well, you know, it's against religions. Religions don't buy them. No. In fact, quite frankly, many religions around the world, including Buddhism, embrace same-sex marriages. And and this article brings out an excellent point that there's a gross misunderstanding. What most politicians paint homosexuality as is just a deviated sex play. It's not. You know, the homosexuals don't want to be homosexuals, but they are. And there is a guesstimated, and it's only a guesstimate of 10% of the people who are homosexual. And they fight this. I mean, it's like being a minority, like a black person or an Asian, you know, in a room with people of a different race. You're different. You really don't want to be different. You want to be accepted, and you want to be the same. By the way, we are live on the air. It's 10 minutes to 7. We got 10 minutes to go. Our phone number is 646-652-4620. If you are alive and kicking and awake at this time in the morning, please call in. Give me your your opinion. So most religions embrace it. It is not a sacred institution. And homosexuals are attracted to one another because that's the way they are. It's the same way even in the animal kingdom. There is about 10% or whatever homosexual behavior in the animal community. And this is scientifically observed. Call this a aberration of nature, call it a deviation of nature, whatever, but it's there. Just like if I was walking down the street and a supermodel passed by and I looked and went, wow, you know, not that I would ever do that, my dear, you know, but, you know, I mean, just like guys look at girls and they just, it's automatic. You know, homosexuals do the same thing, but they do get together and they express their love and caringness for one another, and one way they do that is through sexual behavior, as heterosexuals do. But by and large, they form bonds, just like heterosexuals do. Really, there really is no difference. We do sort of show the manner in which homosexuals live as a very deviant behavior, and it's not. It's different than ours. It's one that I do not wish to be involved in. It's one that I don't particularly, I tell you, like or anything like that, but I accept it, and I have homosexual friends, and that's fine. And I treat them just as anybody else. I mean, it should make no difference. Folks, this is America. And the government should exist to protect our freedoms and our inalienable rights. And being homosexual, you can't help that. And if there's someone else who is consenting and they love each other and they want to get married, so be it. Let them get married. It's not going to affect the heterosexual marriages. It doesn't go down any slippery slope to, you know, Armageddon or anything like that. You know, think of it this way. They say, well, if you allow same-sex marriages, what next? What will you think next? Guys will be marrying dogs. Well, if you want to marry your dog, go ahead. I mean, what do I care? Well, they'll get a tax advantage. The dog will get a tax advantage. So what? You're getting a tax advantage. Yeah, we're going down that slippery slope again. Things are going to hell in a handbasket. Things weren't that way when I was young. You know, we wouldn't have tolerated that. Yeah, and you hear all that crap, especially in Oklahoma, you know, where I'm from. It's a tough state to live in. Let me tell you something. This is a real religious right, evangelical state. And these people, I'll be honest with you, mostly are wackos. I mean, really religious wackos. But let me take a sip of coffee and let me get back to you. One second. Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Isn't it interesting that if a person is a felon, a convicted felon, someone who has spent a lot of time in jail, I mean, scuzzy, looks bad, mean SOB, I mean, somebody you don't want to be in the same room with, wants to marry a woman, that's okay. And they want to have children, that's okay. But if a homosexual who is good in every way, they're right with their religion, they have a job, They respect the law. They pay their taxes. They're good neighbors and good citizens and just generally good people. And they find somebody good like themselves, and they like to spend the rest of their lives with that person. Our politicians say, no, it'll destroy our society as we know it. Isn't that stupid? I mean, isn't that really, really stupid to say that? If that's the case, if that is the case, folks, why do we allow felons, people we don't like, why do we allow people of one race to marry people of another race? Ah, we should allow that. We'll be going down that slippery slope again. You know, it's been proven that the same-sex marriages that are allowed in other countries, like in a couple of the Scandinavian countries, actually have made the institution of marriage a lot better. What it does, it cuts down on the promiscuity, cuts down on the spread of sexual diseases. It makes society more stable. Children are safer. I mean, you name it, it is a positive. Other than it is somewhat, well, not somewhat, but a challenge to the patriotic system that we have here in the United States. Well, guys, I think we better swallow this one. Just forget about it. Just swallow and go on. Because there's nothing wrong with same-sex marriages, and the Constitution should not be used as a vehicle to restrict our inalienable rights, our freedom, and our liberty. It's that simple. We allow people who are serving time in prison, who have convicted murderers, to marry while they are in prison with a gal who falls in love with them because she brings them cake every week, you know, and they're allowed. And when they get out, they're allowed to have children. How many people do you know who are heterosexual, who are lousy parents, raise their kids horribly, the kids turn out horribly, and they don't even care. They're just ignorant slobs. And they're allowed to marry. And they get divorced, and they're allowed to marry again. They get divorced, allowed to marry again. But that's okay, because they're heterosexual. We're not going down a slippery slope, folks. We're maintaining the status quo, which ain't too good. Well, I really wish we had a call-in right now, because I think this is an interesting program. I do wish my listeners to send me their opinions on this subject, and I will read them on Sunday evening to comments@libertytalkradio.com. comments@libertytalkradio.com. I think this is a subject that we really got to put. We got to tell our politicians, would you please shut up about this? Everything that they say about it holds absolutely no water whatsoever. And no, marriage was not made to procreate. It was not the reason for marriage. Was meant for people who love each other to spend their lives together. And if it was meant for procreation, that means that people who are heterosexual, who cannot have children, must then break up and get a divorce. People who become impotent have to get... I'm sorry, you can't have children anymore. You know, people who are too old should break up and get a divorce. You know, that does not hold water. And by the way, children who are raised in a stable homosexual environment have been proven to be very good citizens, grow up very normal, and do not grow up homosexual. Really surprised. And that really irks those religious right nutcakes. And it does not threaten marriage as we know it. It actually solidifies it. Well, folks, that went quickly. This is our half-hour program. Wow. All right. Now, Sunday evening, we will be broadcasting again. I'd like to talk about the energy policy of Hillary Clinton and where we're going with our energy. I think that should be an interesting subject. Let me do a little bit more research, put something together for our Sunday evening broadcast. That would be Sunday evening, January 6th at 8 p.m. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. The latter takes some effort, does it, folks? Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. And in today's financial tumultuous times, please visit Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. Okay, until Sunday evening, let me hear from you. comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll read your email over the air. All right, thank you very much, and I'll be speaking to you later. Thank you.